Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Thank you for coming. It's Easter morning, and if you're not careful, there's a lot of things going wrong in the world today. Life is full of disappointments. I could tell you my woes. You could tell me your woes. We could fill up the rest of the day, but I want you to know this morning, we have a living Savior. Amen. We have a living God, and on my worst day, my name is still recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's because Jesus is my personal Savior. Man, I rejoice in that. Go to Matthew and chapter 28 this morning. Matthew and chapter 28. Verse 6, chapter 28. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. There is no record anywhere on earth of anybody ever surviving a Roman crucifixion. Jesus, the Son of God, hung in shame upon the cross of Calvary for 6 hours and bled out and paid the price for our sin. Proof of the resurrection, an empty tomb. Proof of the resurrection, the lying high priests and priests of the day who knew that the tomb was empty and paid the soldiers to say that the disciples came and stole the body. Proof of the resurrection, on 8 separate occasions, there were witnesses that witnessed and saw the resurrected Jesus one time by over 500 at one time. Proof of the resurrection, there were those that witnessed the ascension of Jesus Christ back into God's heaven. Proof of the resurrection, Holy Spirit power as evidenced in the New Testament local church, as evidenced in the Holy Word of God, the God-breathed book, and as evidenced in the changed lives of the followers of Jesus Christ. I stand before you this morning and declare that our God lives in spite of anything the world is saying today. And in spite of all that you might read of the naysayers, and Jesus the Savior rose again from the grave. I've got a dynamite passage of scripture that I want to get to this morning. It's in the Gospel of Luke, and we'll get to it a little bit later. I don't want to turn there right now, but right here in chapter 28 of the Gospel of Matthew, it says in verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, by the way, this is a different message. I challenge you to research it and study what the Bible says. There's no such thing as Good Friday. Jesus was not crucified on Friday. That is a man-made church religion. It was prophesied that Jesus would be 3 days and 3 nights in the grave and he would rise from the dead. It was prophesied by Jesus himself, and he proclaimed, I'll be 3 days in the belly of the earth and I will be raised again. 3 days and 3 nights. That is 3 daylight times and 3 night times. I just say this. Jesus was crucified on Thursday. At the time of the, we know that they wanted to take his body from the cross before the Sabbath. There are 52 in the Jewish calendar, 52 weekly Sabbaths. And there are 7 high and holy Sabbaths. They were there to celebrate Passover, and that was on Thursday. And it begins on Thursday night. The Jewish day starts at sundown and goes to sundown the next day. So Jesus was crucified on Thursday afternoon, dismissed his spirit at the time of the evening sacrifice on Thursday evening, just before it ever got dark. They took his body down from the grave. He was already dead. They took that corpse and they laid it in a tomb. And Jesus went to Abraham's bosom and he preached the gospel there. Those that were already saved, the message he took them was, it's finished. I died at Calvary. Standing before you is the very Lamb of God, the Messiah that was prophesied. You see, he was speaking to Old Testament saints in Abraham's bosom, and then he led captivity captive. Oh, it's another message altogether. But just suffice it to say this morning, Jesus was 3 days and 3 nights in the grave, and on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day we call it, resurrection morning, He got up from the grave. It says here in chapter 28 and verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, just a couple of things, just trivia, just background. It was a group of ladies. There was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus. There was Joanna and some other women, as declared in the Word of God. And at dawn, just before daylight, they went to the tomb. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Now, there was the angel of the Lord. There were other angels that were there as well. One sat at the foot and one at the head there in the tomb. There were the two witnesses clothed in white garments. You see, those two witnesses, again, another message. You'll have to keep coming back to church to figure out who this is. There are also two men clothed in white garments at the ascension of Christ. And there's also going to be two super witnesses outside the tribulation temple in Jerusalem during the 7 years of tribulation. Old Testament born again Jews are super witnesses that are going to declare, we saw him. We are personal witnesses. We saw him die at Calvary. We saw him rise again from the grave. We saw him ascend on up into glory. And they're going to be a thorn in the side of the Antichrist. And they're going to preach for 3.5 years. And they're going to say, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he's the real God, not that Antichrist in there. And again, that's a series of messages, and we don't have time to look at that this morning. I hope, if nothing else, up to this point in the message, your appetite has been wet for the Word of God. You have a thirst for truth, and you'll get into the Bible yourself and read it and study it. Verse 3, and his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. First of all, the stone was rolled away. The stone was not rolled away, back up in verse 2, the stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out. I don't know if you ever thought about that before. The stone was rolled away so we could get in. Let me just make a couple of simple truths, and then I want to get to a passage of Scripture that really won't take all that long, and it's really my sermon this morning. But if you're here this morning and you're a little bit discouraged and you wonder what life is all about, and maybe you're a little overwhelmed by life, know this morning, our God is not a little God. He is not a small God. He conquered the grave. That's the enemy of man. He conquered death. And he not only died, dismissed his spirit on the cross, he prophesied when he would rise from the dead, and he rose exactly as he said. And amen, he ordained the New Testament church. And here we are in the year 2024. And the church house is full. And people are searching for truth. Many of us were here to worship God, the living God that we know personally, because we've trusted Christ as our Savior. If you are here or watching live stream and you've never been born again, you need to know that death has been defeated in the person of Jesus Christ. It tells us in Romans and chapter 5 and verse 12, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death is a tyrant. It is a thief. It is a robber. It is damnation. It ends physical life on this earth and pulls men, women, and children into eternity. Death came about because of the sin of mankind, because of the sin of Adam. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we have a God that has conquered the grave. Amen. Only God could do that. No one else has ever done that. No one else can do that. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, because he lives, we shall live. He is our first fruits. He goes before us. John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believeth on me shall never die. John chapter 14 and verse 19, because I live, ye shall live. Jesus, the Son of God, paid the price for my sin at Mount Calvary. My sin was nailed to the cross in the body of Jesus Christ, he who did no sin. Take your Bible for a moment and turn to Colossians and chapter 1. Chapter 2 and verse 13. I've got to pare this down real quick. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that's God, hath he quickened, that's Jesus, together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The law is good. The Bible tells us that. I am bad. I am man. I am bad. I could not. That was an insurmountable mountain. I could not climb that mountain. I cannot keep the Decalogue. I cannot keep the law. And the Bible says you break in one point, you're guilty. You break the law in one point, you're guilty of all. In the book of James, I cannot. I am not holy. I am not a holy man. There is nothing about me that is appealing to God other than the fact that he loves sinners. That's it. And I have the righteousness of Christ. Well, if the law has to be fulfilled, and in order to go to God's perfect heaven, I've got to be righteous. What chance do I have? And that's where Jesus comes in. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. And for 6 hours, he hung on the cross and he shed his blood. And he was my substitute. And he made propitiation for my sin. And he died in my place. Please understand this. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God went to the cross for you, that you might have eternal life, that your sins might be forgiven. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. And he took your sin and my sin, nailed it to the cross. The handwriting of the ordinances, that's the law, was nailed to the cross. And it came down from that cross on his corpse and was laid in a tomb. And on the third day, he got up with new life. He got up with his glorified body. He got up and he provided. The resurrection is the day that changed all of humanity. The resurrection is the biggest day in human history. The resurrection is God's amen to Calvary and the blood of his son. It was God the Father saying to the world and saying to God the Son, that is my son, and what he did at the cross, it is enough. Rise up. And he got up of his own will and his own fruition. The Son of God. Know this morning, he lives. And when the stone was rolled away, the stone of death was rolled away as well, for you and for me. Our loved ones that have died before us and they were born again, they're in God's heaven. That doesn't come from an isolated verse or passage of scripture that someone massages to make it say what they want it to say. Over 400 times in the Bible, it speaks of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the only way to heaven, the only way. It's a blood-stained way. It's a way, the blood-stained with the blood of our Savior. And if you'll come to him, you'll be born again. And death will have no sting. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I had such a sweet message or outline here this morning. I no longer have that outline because I've gone all over it. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the law is good. I am not good. I cannot attain. So a Savior came from heaven, and he came and he fulfilled the law, and he never broke any of the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue or the 600 commands in the Old Testament. Never broke a one. He was the righteous Son of God. He was the one man on earth that should not have been crucified, and he went to the cross for you and for me. Amen. And there he hung. And God the Father had to turn his back on his only begotten Son. And the sun of the up in the sky went black for 3 hours. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And at that moment, at that pinnacle moment, all of the sins of mankind from every generation was on the very Son of God. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. Amen. What a wonderful Savior is our Jesus. And he loves you. And he provided for you eternal life. And all you have to do is come to him. The stone's rolled away. The stone of death. Death has no sting for the child of God. When Dave McDonald breathed his last breath here on this earth last Thursday afternoon, and it was a breath of struggle. The last hours and days and months of his life were not pretty, but he was a great man of faith. He left that old body behind, and he was ushered into the presence of God. And he found out when he breathed his first breath of celestial air, there's no sting in the grave. Jesus, our good shepherd, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's because David had a Savior, and you can have that Savior. The stone of death is rolled away. The stone of doubt is rolled away. Let me just give it to you very, very quickly. The Sanhedrin, the high priest rather, and the other priests in the religious order of the day in Matthew in chapter 28 and verses 10 through 15, they told the disciples what they wanted to do right away. This doubt that people have concerning the resurrection or concerning the living God, it did not start in their heart. And the doubt was planted. So here's the high priest. He pays the soldiers. He said, we're going to pay you well. You tell everybody that the disciples came and stole the body. And we'll back you up before the governor. You're going to get paid well. You're set up the rest of your life. You're probably all set up. You just lie and you tell them the disciples came. Even though that wasn't true, you tell them the disciples came and they stole the body. But that doubt, that seed of doubt did not start with them. Remember back in the garden? That started with the devil. You know, he planted doubt in the heart of Eve. And man has doubted ever since. But you need to doubt God no more. He got up from the grave. He arose. He's a living God. He removed the stone of darkness. I say this, and then we'll go to that last passage. I don't travel in the fog. In my pilgrimage here on this earth, I see things on the news. Oh, you talk about different kinds of messages. I hear people preach all kinds of wildfire kind of messages. And I'm thinking, what? That is not Bible. That is not out of the Bible at all. That's a movement where man is just kind of taking it over. Oh, my goodness, that's so far from the truth. Then you got people over here and are all wrapped up in their dead orthodoxy and ritualism and lighting candles. And there's no life there, none whatsoever. I want you to know, there is no doubt in my mind. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Being confident of this very thing, my Jesus, who went to the cross, he paid for all my sin. And I know that when I die, I'm going to God's heaven. That's mercy. That is the grace of God. I don't travel in the fog. There's no doubt in my mind on what the truth is. The darkness is gone. It's Sunday morning. The dark of night is gone. It is resurrection morning. We serve a risen Savior. 232 times in the New Testament, New Testament Christians are referred to as children of the light, part of the kingdom of light, not of darkness. There's a lot of passages of scripture I was going to look at this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13. A lot of passages of scripture. You see, we're not a cult. We don't travel in the dark. We're not mindless, unthinking kind of people. All of a sudden, 2 plus 2 is 4. When you get born again, things add up and you understand, you see the hand of God. You see the plan of God throughout the ages. I know that Jesus is coming again very soon. Take your Bibles and turn in your Bibles to Luke and chapter 24. Luke and chapter 24. This is dynamite. This is really what God wants me to preach this morning. I've been rambling just a little bit. And now don't worry. I'm not going to, I know it's about 17 minutes to 18 minutes to, I'm going to be, you give me 5 more minutes and I'll be done with preaching this morning. But this is dynamite. This is what changes everything. The resurrection of Jesus Christ separates the men from the boys, the wannabes from the real McCoy. New Testament Christianity from a religion of deadness and darkness. Man, it separates it all. So let me summarize and then read this little passage right here. Triumphal entry. That was last Sunday. The first day of the week last week. Triumphal entry. Jesus enters into Jerusalem, rides down on the colt of a donkey, down the Kidron Valley. 2 to 3 million people are there in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. All the Jews are there, man, they're excited. And they know that one day the promised Messiah is going to come. Many of them had heard about Jesus. The ministry that he had had, healing the sick and preaching the kingdom, was not done in a corner. But many of them rejected him as well. And he's riding into the city. And pretty soon one person says it, hey, that's Jesus of Nazareth. And then another person said, blind Bartimaeus is there, the man who he just gave his sight to. The disciples are there. And pretty soon it turns into a rumble. And before you know it, people are lining the streets and people are yelling, Hosanna, King of Kings, Lord, save us, Hosanna. And they're laying down palm branches, and it's just like a little foretaste of that great and glorious day that's going to come. Now the high priest hears of this, and the other priests and the religious order of the day, and they're mad. They are mad. That is blasphemy. People are worshiping him and they're no longer listening to us. They're worshiping him. We've got to kill him. And that's what the week is all about. And by Thursday, they've already gone through the mock trials. He's already been beaten. He's already been scourged. By Thursday, he's hanging on a cross. And he hangs there for 6 hours. But 3 days later, he gets up from the grave. 3 days later, he stands and publicly proclaims himself as Messiah. And listen, thousands are coming. He says, I'm going to ascend to my Father, which is in heaven, and I'm going to send the Comforter, and the Holy Spirit, that Comforter, is going to come, and I'm ordaining the New Testament local church, that band of believers that numbered 25,000 people before they ever left Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to ordain you, and you're going to preach the gospel to all the earth, every tribe, every kindred, and every tongue. Here we are. It's 2,000 years later. You're in a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church. And we're preaching the gospel. And I'm telling you, and everyone that'll listen by way of radio, and everyone watching live stream, Jesus saves. He is alive. He is the very Son of God. Okay, go back to Luke chapter 24. He's risen from the dead. He walks down the toward the village of Emmaus. There are two disciples, verse 13. The two disciples do not recognize him as Jesus. They said, Jesus walks up to him and says, what are you talking about? He said, you haven't heard? The Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, the one that was proclaimed as the Messiah, King of Kings. He entered into Jerusalem last week and they've crucified him. But that's not it. People are saying he's risen from the dead. People are saying they have seen him with their own two eyes. People are saying that he's alive. They say he's alive. Look at it says in verse 25, and he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Old Testament books, he expounded unto them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. He explained who the Messiah was. 2 + 2 = 4. And he says, and they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he spake at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they looked at one another and said, when he spoke, it was like the word of God burned within us. He said, brother, we've been with the living Jesus. We have been with the resurrected Savior, the Messiah. Skip on down to verse 36. So they go and they tell the other 11 and other people that are there, hey, we were traveling here and Jesus appeared to us and he explained the scriptures and all the prophecies, and it all makes sense. Now we understand. And it says here in verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. He's there in his glorified body. And by the way, the presence of Jesus cancels out fear. They were so afraid. He appeared right in there, right there. Wow, am I dreaming? And he said, don't be afraid, fellas. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? You know, it was like they were beside themselves. Like, this is unbelievable. Here's Jesus. And Jesus says, this is music to this old preacher's ears. You know how I love food? Have ye any meat? So here's Jesus in his glorified body. Second time, he asked for food. He has food. I can't wait for heaven. There won't be any disease, there won't be any death, and there won't be any diets. Not a one. Not a one. Let's read on. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Death, substitutional sacrifice, burial. Buried the grave, buried the sins and of all mankind, resurrection, victory. The gospel makes sense. A couple more verses. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, then that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And they went forth, they just proclaimed the truth. Here it is. This is it in a nutshell. The Great Commission was given five times by Jesus, four times here and one time in Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. There is a purpose to life. There is a purpose to the church of Jesus Christ. And this might shock you. It's not to make money. It's not just to exist like a potted plant. It's not to just pleasure your body. It's to reach this whole world with the gospel of truth. It's to put Jesus first in our own lives and be that New Testament church that honors God. The resurrection. Our God is alive. Can I say something else? He says it later on in the passage. He's coming back. Amen. He is coming again. And I know this in my heart of hearts, that Jesus is returning very, very soon. There is no doubt in my mind. We're at the end of this 2,000-year time block, this dispensation called the church. These are the very last days of the church, and one day, very soon, the trumpet of God is going to sound. I only pray that we can, I'm serious when I say this. I only pray that we can continue and we can finish up the auditorium expansion and be able to use it some this summer and this fall before Jesus comes. And be able to fill it up for the glory of God. I believe the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, is that close. Man, this world is just throbbing. Just it's going to culminate with the sound of the trumpet. And we're going to get caught on up and taken home to glory. I'm excited about it, but I'm concerned about the multitudes of people, loved ones and co-workers and people that we rub shoulders with that aren't yet born again. Can I encourage you? Give people the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Number two, invite them out to church. Let them hear the preaching of God's word. Next Sunday, we got a Sunday, and then the very Sunday after that is our Byron Fox revival meetings. That guy's a good old preacher. He's anointed. He has the power of God in his life, and everywhere he goes, dozens of people get saved. This is an amazing thing, and we just need to pray and prepare our own hearts and ask God, invite your friends. Invite your loved ones. Church growth experts say, of which I am not one, say that 88% of people that visit a church visit that church because a friend invited them. That's a high percentage. Do you invite your friends? Do you tell them about Jesus? Do you invite them to church? We're going to be able to seat another 200 people here very quickly. That'd be a pretty good-sized congregation. I'd love to see that overflowing every day this summer. I'd love to enter the fall season, should the Lord tarry, with our feet hitting the ground running and seeing other kind, just a great soul harvest. Let me tell you, as your pastor, he's coming soon. He's alive. He's alive right now, interceding at the right hand of the throne of God. He said he was going to come, just like he said he was going to rise on the third day, and he's coming back. And we need to be prepared.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.